You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1. Book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to go through 1 through 10. As we've been journeying through the book of Acts, I hope you have noticed that I've been using an illustration all throughout our time as we've been in the book of Acts. We've been talking about space. We've been talking about NASA. We've been talking about new worlds and rockets and those sort of things. I hope that you're getting the drift of this, because what it is in the book of Acts, they're going to a new world. They're moving from Jerusalem, and they're going to go out from Jerusalem and all these Jewish folks, and they're going to keep going and going and going to this new world, and there's going to be this crazy foreign planet that's filled with most of us that are called Gentiles, non-Jewish people. And some brave men and women are going to get on a rocket of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength not of firepower, but of God's power in them, and they're going to travel to new worlds, and it's going to be an amazing thing. See, when God wants to use you and God wants to do things in you, it gets uncomfortable. It's new lands. It's a new journey. And as we begin this series entitled Leaving Earth, we're going to see Peter and John help someone here. They're going to leave Earth in the sense of leaving themselves, their own selfishness, their own convenience, their own way of doing things, and they're going to reach out and they're going to help. Now, that's what every single one of us wants to do. Is we really want to help people. And so that's why I entitled this message, How to Really Help People, because every one of us wants to help somebody. It's in us as humans to want to help, but it gets tangled up at times. And this is how we really help someone. It's by leaving Earth of our own hearts and our own selves and making a difference in someone else's life. And thinking about all this space stuff, I'm reading this autobiography by Charlie and Dottie Duke. And Charlie Duke was on the Apollo 16 mission. The Apollo 16 mission. So he went to the moon. He stood on the moon. He was the CAPCOM, which means the one that speaks to the astronauts, when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. So this guy is a significant guy. And this little section that I just read recently, as I'm going through this book, it was talking about him being a test pilot. And he makes this change from being a test pilot to then he's going to be an astronaut. He's got a great career as a test pilot. Chuck Yeager, before Chuck Yeager was Chuck Yeager, is his teacher in this test pilot school. So he is with like the who's who of this stuff. But then he starts feeling like he wants to be an astronaut. Here's what it says. I was aware that going to NASA would take me out of the mainstream of the Air Force. Therefore, promotion and into the ranks of general officer would be slim. So he's negating all his promotions. He's leaving it behind to go and be an astronaut. For this reason, not everyone at Edwards Air Force Base who was qualified applied, because it didn't fit into their career goals and their ambitions. Sometimes helping people doesn't fit into our career goals and our ambitions. I knew this, but I wanted to be an astronaut and fly in space no matter what. In April 1966, I get a phone call from Deke Slayton. Charlie, I've got some good news for you. You've been selected. I let out a loud, yoo-hoo! Some of y'all, it's Yahoo before it was a website, okay? So it's an actual word here. He cries out. Can you report in May, he continued. You bet, I shouted. I couldn't contain my excitement as I realized in less than 1 month I would be in Houston and would begin training as an astronaut. I was just ecstatic over the news. I was at the office when the call came through, and immediately I called Dottie, his wife, and she was thrilled too. He was on his way to have this amazing career as this test pilot. He was going to get all his accolades and all his brass of being this person that would rise up in the military, and he leaves it all to go and be an astronaut in this program. That's kind of a new program. It's not us looking back at astronauts. This is the beginning of the astronaut program. So he's going to leave his career. He's going to leave his safety. He's going to leave all these great things. He's going to come to Houston so that they can put him on the top of a missile and shoot him and some buddies into space, and he might die. What in the world would drive you to do something like that? Because in your heart, you knew you were meant for something like that. And oh, believer in Jesus Christ, as we talk about helping someone, you were meant for this. You were meant to be an astronaut. I wasn't meant to just build a bunch of stuff down here on Earth. We were meant to get on the missile, the Holy Spirit, and the plan of God, whoosh, and go to new lands and see what God would want to do in our lives as we discover his greatness of helping other folks in the power of Christ. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up together to the temple complex at the hour of prayer. It was 3 p.m. Now Jewish prayer times were in the morning, then you had a 3 o'clock prayer time, then you had an afternoon prayer time. Notice that they didn't separate their Christianity from Judaism. Christianity, as it is in the Bible, is a fulfillment, or Christianity is a fulfillment of Judaism. So they're still going to the temple. They weren't going to First Baptist Jerusalem down the road. Didn't exist yet. They're going to the temple and they're going to pray to God and thank him for his son, Jesus Christ. Judaism births Christianity. Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. Number 2, verse 2. And a man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried there and placed every day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so he could beg from those entering the temple complex. When he saw Peter and John and who were about to enter the temple complex, he asked for help. Let's stop right there. Here's Peter and John, and they're walking into the temple complex. They're going for their time of prayer in the Jewish calendar, in the Jewish day. And this man is there, and he's going to call out. Now, we know from Acts chapter 4, verse 22, that this man is over 40 years old. Over 40 years old. So he has been lame, crippled since he was born. He's been carried for decades to this gate called Beautiful. Now, the gates around Jerusalem, most of them were gold and silver. This is a bronze gate, and it said that it took 20 men to close it. It was so big. He would sit there, and he would beg, and he'd look for people to beg from and to find out what he could get from them so that he could continue on his career as a beggar. John and Peter come walking through. John and Peter are big time in the faith. John and Peter have been hanging out with Jesus. John and Peter just preached to thousands. John and Peter have been having thousands added to their number over and over and over. But yet John and Peter, if they're really going to help people, have to be mindful not just of the crowds, but also the individual. They walk through the gates, and here is a person that asks him for something, and they realize this: intersection brings opportunity. Intersection brings opportunity. Think about when you drive back home today after you leave church. How many intersections will you go through? You'll go through intersection after intersection after intersection. Stop lights, stop signs, places that you just go through that you don't have a stop sign, somebody else does. There'll be intersections all throughout your path, and that is symbolic of life. You will intersect this week people at the office. You'll intersect clients. You'll intersect customers. You'll intersect rich people. You'll intersect poor people. You'll intersect people in your family. In the holiday season, you're going to see cousins you haven't seen since last Thanksgiving. You're going to have intersection after intersection after intersection, and many times we just drive right through them and we miss the fact that intersection brings opportunity. Here's Peter and John, and they realize that this is a moment of opportunity. They've led thousands to Christ, but they still see individuals. Are our eyes open to divine intersections? Are they open to divine intersections? Because when you have a divine intersection, most of the time it is not convenient. Most of the time, it doesn't fit into your schedule. Most of the time, it doesn't seem to make sense with what you've got going on. But God brings intersections in this moment. Now, every person you meet might not be the greatest, most intersection of God's plan, but intersections, God brings them. I remember when I was going through seminary, I went to seminary actually at Houston Baptist University. Southwestern Seminary would meet at HBU, and so I would drive down from College Station, go to seminary once a week, and I had this huge theology test. So after lunch, I was sitting by the student union, and I was studying for my theology test. And I had on this t-shirt that said 6 hours one Friday. 6 hours one Friday was on the back of the t-shirt. It was the theme of a retreat I had done, like in Amarillo or something, about Jesus dying on the cross. 6 hours one Friday. This guy walks up to me and he says, "Hey man, can I ask you a question?" And I'm like, "No, I'm studying for a theology test," is what I wanted to say. But I was nicer. I said, "Sure." And he said, "What does 6 hours one Friday mean?" I thought, here we are in a Christian university, but don't you know everybody in Christian schools doesn't mean they're all Christian. I've got now this issue with this opportunity of an intersection. I got a theology test in 30 minutes I'm cramming for. Does that give you faith that your pastor crammed for theology test? So I could learn a bunch of big words that none of y'all care about, okay? And I got this guy asking me about my t-shirt, and I'm like, what do I do? And I think, okay, and I close my theology book, and I start sharing Jesus Christ with him, And he prays and he receives Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, the only problem was, is I was like, Lord, it's if he could get saved like in 5 minutes, that would be awesome, God, because I still need to cram. And he just took longer and longer and longer. So now my test has started. So now I'm like, okay, I'm going to be late for the test. And what am I going to do? And Father, if you can make 5 loaves, you know, feed 5,000, then surely, you know, I can just write the answers real quick and it'll be, you know. And so I'm talking. So I lead him to Jesus and say, what's your phone number? Okay, great. I'll follow up with you. I'm like Roadrunner, gone to run to the class. I run into the class and they haven't started yet, thankfully. And I'm like, can we pray for this guy? I just led a guy to Christ. Can I get extra credit for that? Because that could be awesome. Would that replace my lowest quiz score if I can get that? And so I was like, no, you're saved by grace, but you graduate by works, you know. So, I mean, all this, we got all sorts of preacher humor in seminary. And so they had that. So I had this moment, though. What am I going to do? Now, in that moment, I could be a young Pharisee, or I could be an evangelist. Thankfully, I chose the right one, but I don't always do that, do you? I often choose my agenda over God's agenda. And the intersections that come in my life, I go, not now. Intersections bring opportunities. Here it is in this moment that this man is begging, and they come and they have this opportunity. They have this opportunity. Are our eyes open to divine intersections for someone else's good, for someone else's gain, not our own? Now, look what happens in the rest of this in verse 4. It says, when he saw Peter, or verse 4, Peter along with John looked at him intently and said, look at us. And so he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I have neither gold nor silver, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and his ankles became strong. He looks, do you remember Peter from John chapter 18? He's scared as he's warming his hands around a fire when a girl says, aren't you a Christian? No, no, no. Then he's redeemed in John chapter 21 on the beach around a fire of coal again. And now he's got the power of God in him. He's on the top of a rocket, sitting on top of a missile, heading to a new land because he's got the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit in him. The change in Peter is a testimony to the power of God. So he says to this guy, look at me. I want you to look at me. Because Peter's not going to give him change from his pocket. He's going to give him change for eternity. He's not going to give him gold and silver from his pocket because that will be spent and gone. He's going to give him Jesus Christ from his heart because that lasts for all of eternity. Now, many times in this verse here, it says, I have not gold, I have not silver, but what I have I give to you in verse 6 in the name of Jesus Christ. Many times we are procrastinating on making a difference in people's lives. We're saying, well, I don't have enough experience to really do anything like that. Well, I need to take a class on how to share my faith before I'll share my faith. And I need to go to seminary before I teach a Sunday school. I need to do this before I get involved in Life Bible study. You know, if I was rich, you know what I'd do? But I don't do any of that now. And we procrastinate and put it off. And this verse of scripture says, I don't have gold, I don't have silver, but what I got, I'm going to give you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Give what you got, because Jesus is enough. Give what you got, because Jesus is enough. You don't have weeks of time? That's cool. Give the time you got. Jesus is enough. You don't have bank accounts filled with offshore accounts filled with millions of dollars? No problem. There's a widow and two mite. Give what you got. Jesus is enough. Because the power is not from the hand of Peter. The power is from the name of Christ. That's where it comes from. And it says at this moment, he says, look at me. I'm not going to give you what you think you need. I'm going to give you what you really need. Now, let's be open and honest and just tell it like it is. There's a lot of people on the take. And they want Christians or whoever to just give me, just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Jesus wants to teach you how to fish, not just give you a fish for a day. He doesn't want to give you just pocket change. He wants to change your life. So if you've been whining about something for more than a decade, it's time to quit whining. And it's time to rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. This man is not to make a career out of begging. You're not to be a professional homeless person. or professional beggar. You're to rise up and to walk. When you've been complaining about something, I'm not telling you just pull up your bootstraps. I'm saying if you've been complaining about that forever and now you're beginning to use that to further yourself with it, we all got our shticks, don't we? And we throw that out and that's our little feel sorry for us piece. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ because Jesus wants to make a difference in you so you can make a difference in somebody else. And when you're whining about you, you're quitting, you're not going to make a difference in anybody else. Rise up and walk. Be a difference maker. Give what you got. Jesus is enough. He gives them Jesus Christ and it meets this man's need. Because even the atheist knows this. We are more than physical. You have a soul and I have a soul. Even the headhunter does not want his head to be hunted. Even the most intellectual has figured out how no God exists, knows that there's something of emotion in them that didn't come from an amoeba that went to a monkey that went to a man. There's a person in there that's deeper than your physical. And so, yes, we give a cup of cold water, but we give it in Jesus' name. So do we help the poor? Yes! We help the poor in our church by the thousands, and we will always do that. Do we help people with their clothing? Of course. Do we help people with food? Of course. We don't negate that at all, but we realize that there's something more than just the physical of people. There is a spiritual, there's a social, there's an emotional, and most of us are not around all the time people with just physical needs. We're around people at the office or at school with social and emotional needs, and you step forward in the name of Jesus with your right hand extended. And you said, let me help you. Let me give you a great sentence. Ask somebody that you have a relationship with, how are you really doing? And just listen. All of us are a wounded crew, aren't we? You ask, how are you really doing? Everybody's got a worry. Everybody's got an issue. If it's just food for a beggar, then guess what? Suburban America is heaven on earth. Everybody has bread, everybody has a house, but you and I both know that suburban America's got just as many problems as any other place in the world. Marriages are falling apart and shattering, and homes are being destroyed. How you really doing? Jesus has come to heal emotionally and physically. He's come to heal mentally for the warrior. He's come to heal emotionally for the wounded. He's come to heal socially for the folks that feel like they don't have a friend. He's come to make a difference in your life. And that all comes from the name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple examples. Our downtown campus. Our downtown campus today, I couldn't have planned it this good to have this passage of scripture and this happening. It just worked out like that. Today, we started something downtown. We started a life Bible study class. Well, that's cool already, but it's even cooler. We started a life Bible study class, not at the downtown campus. We started a life Bible study class at Star of Hope. We have a life Bible study class from our church that meets there because we realize to really minister to people that are homeless, and that's a downtown group that we want to minister to, then we've got to be plugged in with the Star of Hope because them just showing up on Sundays and everybody giving them some nickels and dimes and money and bread, that's not going to cut it. We got to connect them. So we have multi-sided again in a sense to say, here we are in that place. It's an amazing thought. I know some of us are struggling with what does it look like to have different campuses. We would have never done that if we weren't downtown. We couldn't have pulled that off. Further on in downtown, we've had 5 downtown campus members who are going through the Star of Hope development program when they began to attend our church, and now they've graduated. Most have found jobs and housing, and one is actually going to the Star of Hope Bible School in preparation for full-time ministry. These are people in our downtown campus. One homeless guy in our church began serving God through the Houston Project. So he quit whining about it and started serving people. He was homeless. He was on Houston Project serving people. So he's out there serving folks, and now he's baptized. He's a member of our church and serves on our welcome team. He's found a job and housing through a family in our church. Is that amazing? That's good stuff. That's life change. That's rise up and walk. That's not just, you know, I've been giving this guy a sandwich by my office for 10 years. Well, the guy needs to quit getting sandwiches for 10 years. We need to rise up in the name and the power of Jesus. Look at what happens in this, I just want to draw your attention to the end of verse 6. I have neither gold or silver, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Get up and walk. In the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Peter. He doesn't honor Peter. He doesn't celebrate Peter. He honors Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. How powerful is the name of Jesus? Is that just an ending of a prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. Or is the name of Jesus power? Acts chapter 4, verse 12, because this guy's going to actually get him in trouble and they're going to encounter some persecution. The name of Jesus Christ, he says, there's no other name by which to be saved. Let me tell you what the Bible says about the names of Jesus. Let's just take it A to Z. We're going to be here for just a few minutes. These are the names of Jesus. As we talk about the name of God, the name of Christ, here it is. Let's just start with the A's. He's Advocate, Almighty, Alpha, Omega, Amen, Angel, Angel of His Presence, Appointed, Apostle, Arm of the Lord, Author and Finisher of our faith. B, He's the beginning and the end. He's the creation of God. Beloved, Blessed, Branch, bread of Life, Bridegroom, Bright Morning Star, Brightness of the Father's Glory, Captain of the Lord's Army, Captain of Salvation, Carpenter, Carpenter's Son, Chief Shepherd, Chief Cornerstone, Chief among 10,000, Chosen of God, Christ, the Christ, Christ Messiah, Christ the King, Christ Jesus our Lord, Christ of God, Christ the Chosen One of God, Christ the Lord, Christ the Power of God, Christ the Wisdom of God, Christ the Son of God, Christ the Son, the Blessed Son of God. You getting the Christ part now? Commander, Consolation of Israel, Cornerstone, Counselor, Covenant of the People, David, Dayspring, Daysman, Daystar, Deliverer, Desire of All Nations, He's the Door, He's Emmanuel, He's Eternal Life, He's the Everlasting Father, He's Faithful and True, He's the Faithful Witness, He's the Faithful and True Witness, He's the Finisher of Faith, He's the First and the Last, the First Begotten, the Firstborn, the Fountain, the Forerunner, the Friend of Sinners, He's the Gift of God, the Glory of Israel, God, God Blessed Forever, God Manifest in the Flesh, God of the Whole World, God of Our Savior, God's Dear Son, God With Us, Good Master, Great Shepherd, He's the Head of the Body of Christ, He's the Heir of All Things, He's the High Priest, Head of Every man, Holy Child Jesus, Holy One of God, Holy One of Israel, Hope, Horn of Salvation. He's the I Am. He's the image of God. He's Israel. He's Jehovah. He's Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ our Lord. He's Jesus Christ our Savior. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. Jesus Christ, Son of God. He's the Judge. He's the King. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of the Saints. He's the King of Kings. He's the King of Glory. He's the King of Zion. He's the King over the whole cotton picking earth. That's in the Greek. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Law Giver. He's the leader. He's the light. He's the light everlasting, the light of the world, light to the Gentiles, the true light, the living bread, the living stone, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord of lords, the Lord of all, the Lord of our righteousness, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord from heaven, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Christ. He's the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord mighty in battle. He's the Lord of the dead and the living. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord over all. He's the Lord's Christ. He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord of our righteousness. Righteousness, the Lord, your Holy One, the Lord, your Redeemer. He's also a man of sorrows. He's a master. He's a mediator. He's a messenger of the covenant. He's a Messiah. He's the Prince. He's the Mighty One of God. He's the Mighty One of Israel. He's the Mighty One of Jacob. He's mighty to save. He's the Morning Star. He's most holy. He's most mighty. He's a Nazarene. He's an offspring of David. He's the only begotten. He's the only wise God, our Savior. He is overseer. He is our Passover. He's the power of God, the physician, the precious cornerstone, the priest, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. He's a prophet. He's our propitiation. He's a rabbi. He's a ransom. He's a redeemer. The resurrection and the life, redemption, righteous branch, righteous judge, righteous servant, righteousness, rock, rock of offense, root of David, root of Jesse, rose of Sharon, ruler of Israel, salvation, sanctification, the sanctuary, the Savior Jesus Christ, the Savior of the body, the Savior of the whole world. He's the scepter. He's the second man, the seed of David, the seed of woman, the servant of rulers. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd and overseer of our souls. He's the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, and the great shepherd, and the shepherd of Israel. He's a Shiloh. He's a son of the Father. He's a son of God. He's a son of man. He's a son of the Blessed One, the son of the Highest One, the son of David, the star, the stone of stumbling, the son of righteousness. He's our surety. He is sure. He's a teacher. He's a true God. He's a true vine. He's the truth. He's an unspeakable gift. He's the vine. He's the way. He's the one which is, which was, and which is to come. He's the wisdom of God. The witness, the wonderful, the word of God, the word of life, and the word of God. Hello. That's the name of Jesus. And he created the xylophone, the yak, and the zebra. I have not gold and silver, but I give you what I got. I got Jesus Christ, 5 columns and an 8 font. Which name do you need today? And he will meet you where you are, a beggar or billionaire. What name are you trusting in? Some celebrity? Some friend? Some political party? For there is only one name under which we will be saved, and it is the name Jesus. And Peter and John stroll in confidence of the character of the name of Christ. And he says, look at me. I don't have gold and silver. You're sitting in front of a bronze gate, but I got Jesus. Arise and walk. Arise and walk. When you realize you got Jesus, here's what's going to happen. You'll celebrate your walk in Christ. You'll celebrate your walk in Christ. Look at what happens in verse 7. Celebrating your walk in Christ. It's not just, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. That's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's the deal. Verse 7. Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and his ankles were strong. Did you notice Peter touched him? He grabbed him with his right hand. We're going to come back to that. At once his feet and his ankles became strong. So he jumped up and he stood and he started to walk. And he entered the temple complex and then with them, walking and leaping. He's never walked before. He's over 40 years old. They've been bringing him to this gate for decades, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, not praising Peter, praising God. Making a difference. People are seeing him as a witness of Christ. Verse 10, and they recognized that he was the one that used to sit and beg. Used to sit and beg. Used to sit and beg. Used to whine. Used to complain. Used to sit and beg. Now, at the temple gate, beautiful gate of the temple complex. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. He rose up and he walked. Did you see Peter reach out his hand? The end of verse 6, verse 7. Reached out his right hand. I don't have gold and silver. What I got, I'm going to give you. Let me take your hand and lift you up. Peter touched him. People need hugs. People need to be touched. Peter wasn't too good for him. This big time Peter, preaching to thousands, languages of Pentecost, worldwide ministry. You want to see worldwide ministry? Look at Pentecost. Big time Peter, and he reaches out this decades beggar's hand. Do you treat people differently? Do you treat people that can do things for you different than people you're going to do things for? I try, and I know you do too, to treat everybody the same. It's hard sometimes, though, isn't it? Treat everybody the same. Just recently, I went and got my car washed, and I love to do that. It's a love language of mine. And the place where I got my car washed, you can get your car washed, a bag of popcorn, and then there's a guy that'll shine your shoes. Those are my three love languages right there. It's a beautiful day for every man. So my car is going through to get washed, and it's just a normal place. It's not like a car spa. It's just a car wash. So I get there, and I sit down, and I've gotten to be friends with the guy that shines the shoes. So I sit down because I saw him reading his Bible one time, and I said, hey, that's a good book. And he said, yeah, it is. And turned out in conversation, he's a pastor. So we're buddies. So we like to talk. We recognize each other, and we like to talk. So the car goes through. I got my popcorn. I pop my feet up. He's shining my shoes, and we're talking. What are you preaching on in your church? What are you doing? We're having a great conversation. Here he is, and he's popping and shining and doing all this stuff. He's a buddy. I want you to know he has such joy. He's shining shoes because he's got a little church somewhere that can't pay him enough, so he had to get another job, and his other job is shining shoes. So I roll in. I'm a big church pastor. Hey, no. I should be shining his shoes. And when I go back, I'm going to ask him if I can. And I'm probably going to ruin his shoes. And then I'll just buy him some shoes, I guess. I don't know what I'll do at that point. I should be shining his shoes, not better than him. He has such great joy. It's the joy of Jesus Christ as he shines shoes in the name of Jesus. He said, somebody, when I was talking to him, somebody said, well, why aren't you reading your Bible? Kind of picking at him. He said, oh, sir, there's time to read your Bible and there's time to do your Bible. I was like, I'm writing that one down. That's a good. Peter reaches out his hand. He says, buddy, let me help you up. Arise and walk in the name of Jesus. This true story illustrates something wonderful. It's not just about physical healing. Do we believe in that? Yes. Do we want to see that happen? Yes, of course. It's about more. This true story, this really happened. This true story also illustrates our salvation. How? Three quick things. It shows that salvation is instantaneous and complete. He popped up. His ankles were strong and he leapt. When you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, when you come to know Christ as Savior, you don't get forgiveness of God on an installment plan. You get all the forgiveness you're ever going to get right there in that moment. Jesus Christ washes you clean and you're as holy as Billy Graham or anybody else, whoever your person is you want to put in that, Mother Teresa, whatever. You get all you're going to get. If God never gives you another thing, he's already given you too much. Now, that'll cut down on our whining right there, won't it? You're washed clean. Salvation is complete and instantaneous. Your relationship with Christ is not based on your commitment to him. It's based on his commitment to you. And on the cross, Jesus said it's finished. Number two, salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Not found in anything else. It's found in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the only place in which we can be saved for all of eternity, meaning forgiven of sins, walking with God, living in your heart so that you go to heaven when you pass on, and you will pass on. Number three, salvation brings joy and praise. Joy and praise. He raised up and he began to leap and walk in great joy. I don't have gold and silver. I've got the name of Jesus. I thought I needed change in my pocket. I needed change in my life. What kind of change do you need today? What kind of healing do you need today? Do you need mental healing? Because you're just worry, 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 stress, stress, stress. The name of Jesus. Do you need emotional healing? Because you're wounded. And it's valid in your wounding. I'm not trying to invalidate that. You need the name of Jesus Christ. Physical healing. Call out to the name of Jesus Christ. And if he heals you, give him glory and praise. And if he chooses not to heal you, you just walk in that suffering shining with Jesus. He can. We just don't know always if he will. If you need spiritual healing and you don't know Christ as Savior, or you're running from him, you come to the name of Jesus Christ. Here's what we're going to do. And then we're going to be done. Been thinking about this all week, and we're just going to go for it. It might be a little Bapticostal for some of you, but we're going to go for it. In just a minute, because we believe this. We believe Jesus. We believe this. We don't go, what happened way back in history? No, we go, yes, this is real. In just a moment, I'm going to ask that if you're in need of healing, physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever, you pick your category. Just a moment. If you're in need of that, I'm going to ask that you just stand up. Or if someone is close to you that you love and you want to stand on their behalf, and then we're going to pray in the name of Jesus and ask God for miracles. And then we're just going to get our pen out and we're going to wait over the next year and just start going, oh, yeah, I remember that day too. Oh, I'm not surprised. No, sir. And just watch God do it. And if he chooses not to, then we're going to suffer and we're going to walk in the name of Jesus and shine with him. You know why? Because we were created not for this earth. We were created to be on the top of a rocket of the cross to a new world. Leave earth and be the astronaut of the heart God wants you to be.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.